gave everything. And there's something that we can do if we really want to see a community changed, is that there's a real challenge for us. We want to see this community change, and we want to see the church here built, and we want to see a community touched. Well, how are we going to do that? And really that's what I want to talk about, is it really is having a heart to give ourselves away. It's not always convenient, you know. Some of us, you could be doing many, many things on a Sunday afternoon, or you could be doing many things during the week. But there's something about having a heart that wants to give ourselves away, that we might see another community touched. And certainly, from that passage that I read before in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the scripture tells us, it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves." And certainly in that story of Angus, we saw that. And he had his little bit of food, and remember, they're at starvation level. They're eating just the minimum, bare minimum to keep them alive. And he gave himself, he valued his friend and gave him all that he had, eventually costing his life. The community, considering valuing others above yourself, and seeing the value of others even above yourself, it's such an important principle. And certainly what, if we want to touch a community, we need to not only know that and understand that, we need to imbibe that, we need to walk that. And certainly in that wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is that we know that passage about love, it talks about what love is. It says it's not rude. This is 1 Corinthians 13:5. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It's not self-seeking. And so if we're going to love a community, then we need to be selfless in our love for the community. And that's why I'm thrilled with those people that have a heart and for us serving at their carols and all those things that we're doing, just because that's a part of that. It's not about self-seeking. It's about serving others, having a heart for other people. And that's what transforms a community. Because we know that we live in a world where everybody's out to get whatever they can for themselves. Everybody wants their own comfort. Everyone wants their own convenience. Everybody wants things for themselves. And yet we're called to stand out. We're called to be different. We're called to be a testimony and be a witness. And that it's not about us. We're not self-seeking, but we're here to love. And certainly that's the embodiment of love. And already, as we read about what Christ did for us, that he gave everything for us. Romans 2:8 says, "But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger." And so we really have a choice. We can either be living for ourselves or we can be living for others. And if we are self-seeking, the scripture gives a warning. Those who are self-seeking, reject the truth, follow evil, there is wrath and anger. And so we certainly don't want to be ones that are in this for ourselves. We're in there for the sake of other people. We want to touch other people's heart, even as Angus did, as Angus gave his own very life. And so there's that heart of being selfless and living a selfless life that we need to embody. That's what the Lord causes us to embody. It's interesting. Think about being selfless. See, what you can do acts, sometimes you can do something and it looks like a selfless act. But what makes it a selfless act is not just the act. There's something more than that which makes it a selfless act. It's actually the motivation behind the very thing that you do. Very important. Because you can do a whole lot of stuff which seems very sacrificial, but if you do it with the wrong heart, then it's not actually sacrificial at all. It's actually self-serving. It's meeting a need in ourselves to be loved or to be wanted or to be needed. And it's the wrong heart. So we're going to make sure our heart is so right. God is so interested in our heart. It says in Matthew 23:25, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." It's pretty strong, isn't it? When the Lord uses the law, "You hypocrites." That certainly gets your attention. The Lord talks like that. "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." And so all the other stuff on the outside looks really good, but it's what's inside. It says full of greed and self-indulgence. It's all about self. And that's why it's really important that if we're going to be serving, we want to build community and touch the community, we really have to have a heart. It's not about us. It's about them. It's about others. It's about laying our life down and sacrificing for other people. Because you can do a wonderful thing on the outside. It looks like it's a big sacrifice and what a wonderful thing that we're doing. But if our motive's wrong, then it's self-indulgence. And that's what he's saying to the Pharisees. You do this stuff, it looks good, but you're doing it for your own benefit, for your own self. And we've always got to be careful of that. It's the motivation which makes something selfless, not just the act, but also the motive behind the act. Just be careful, though. Don't ever be one that judges the motives of other people. Some people, sometimes you can fall into the trap of judging someone else's motive. You can never do that. You don't just have the right to judge another person's motive about why someone did something. Never do that. That's not our prerogative to judge another person's motive, but it is the prerogative to judge our own hearts and to make sure our own motives are right. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? Because our motive actually means a lot. It's the motive is so important. It's interesting that the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, when he founded the Salvation Army, when he was a little bit older, he was supposed to speak at a conference, and he was unable to attend physically. He just couldn't do it anymore as he's getting a little bit older. And so he was going to send them their message, and they're going to read his message to everyone at the big conference there. And so he sent them the message, and he sent it via telegram. And his message was only one word. And so all the conference are there, expecting to read this big address from William Booth about his heart and what it's all about. And so the person stood up there, got the telegram, and it had the one word, and it said, "Others." And that was it. That was the big address at this big convention. And certainly that was the heart. It's not about us. It's about others, and that's certainly the heart. Certainly the Salvation Army started with such a heart of not serving themselves but serving others. 1 Corinthians 13:3, it says this when it talks about motive. It says, "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." So important. We can be and do the right thing. It looks really good on the outside, but if our heart's wrong, our motive is wrong, then there's no benefit at all to us. Someone else might have been benefited, but we won't benefit from it at all. And so we've got to be really careful about that whenever we do something. Even as we touch the community, that our heart is for the people. It's not for ourselves, it's for them. But if we want to build a community, then that selfless heart is really important. That motive is always really important. So watch your heart, always guard your heart. Don't judge other people's motives. Don't say, "Oh, they're doing this or that because of this or that." You don't know that. We've got no right to say that. We can only ever look at our own motives and our own heart. And we want to have a heart that's right, that we don't do all these dramatic things, give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames. Don't try that one at home, all right? You get one crack at that. Don't try that one. Surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. And so we've got to be really careful that our heart is loving when we do acts, and motive means everything. So I just want to encourage us with that. And Angus, he had nothing to gain from what he did. When he made his sacrifice, in fact, he gave everything for his buddy. And we want to be like buddies to this community, in the sense we want to touch people's lives, and our heart of being selfless is really important. And of course, when we think of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself did for us on the cross, and we shared around that at communion, obviously he is that example of being selfless. And when Jesus did that, he not only gave that as an example, but he actually gave us a command. And quite often when the Lord gives us commands, some people take the commands of God like they're a good idea. It's a good principle. It's a good value. But it's more than that. It's a command that we must follow. If we are followers of Jesus Christ, then we must obey his command. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." And this is a command that he gave. So when we're following the command, it's got nothing to do with how we feel about it. If you're given a command, you're a soldier in the army, if the soldier's told to stand up straight, whether he's tired or whatever else, the command is given, you sit up straight. You've got to march. You might have been marching for 20 miles, and the command is given, you're going to march another 5 miles. Doesn't matter if you're tired, doesn't matter if you've got sore feet, your back's aching, you do it. When the command is given, you're obedient and you follow the command. And this is the command that Jesus said. He says, "This is my command," in John 15, and he says this, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And people, what's the standard of love that he wants us to love one another with? What's the standard? He said, this is what he goes on, and he explains it. Greater love, love each other as I have loved you. And then he says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Now, we already read that about Angus. That's certainly what Angus did. He laid his life down for his friends. Jesus died for us. We're his friends. He laid down his life for us. And we're here today. We know we have the promise of eternal life because of what Jesus did, because of his sacrifice for us. But it says, greater love has no one this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So in the context of his command, he says, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He died on the cross for us. He gave everything for us. We think about that. We think about that standard of love, and sometimes we feel tired. Sometimes we feel busy. Sometimes there's discomfort and inconvenience. And certainly there's sacrifice, but really when we talk about the realms of sacrifice, the extreme of that, if you like, is death, is giving our life one for another. And you think, who would do this? Well, Angus gave this to his little buddy that he was supposed to look after, this buddy system that they have. But that's how we are supposed to live. That's the command that we live, that we lay our life down. So sometimes you're going to feel tired, sometimes you're going to feel discomfort, and whatever else, but that's what sacrifice is. That's the Christian life. That's how we live. We give ourselves freely. We sacrifice this discomfort that we go through, and far more than just discomfort, sacrifice. Mm. And sacrifice costs you something. Obviously, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us cost us everything. But if we really want to build community, it entails sacrifice. There's a cost, there's a price to be paid. And that's certainly the heart that we want to have, that we're going to love this community and we're going to sacrifice. We're going to put ourselves out because we care for the people, even as the Lord has loved us. And how do we love one another? How are we to love our brothers and sisters? Well, it's the same love, but we want to embody love to all those in this community. In Galatians 2:20, it says this, and again, and this is the mindset that if we can grab a hold of this, it is transformative. That whole prison, and I can't imagine what it was like to be in a prison with those brutal people that would the way that they, I can't say cared for the prisoners, they didn't care. They tortured, the way that they mistreated. I can't comprehend what that would be like. I don't think any of us have got any idea what that's like. You know, it's the most discomfort you've ever experienced. None of us have really had salvation, has had starvation, hunger. You know, when you're a teenager, you always think you're starving. You think, oh, I'm going to die, I'm starving, I'm going to eat something. We never know. We've never known that. I don't believe any of us have really known that starvation level of hunger, that discomfort, and all of that we went through. None of us have really known that. And yet there's something about when we have a heart for others that really makes a big difference. Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I lives, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So how can we live such a life as this? Well, in our own humanity, it's always looking after ourselves, but if we have the mindset and we have the understanding, it's, hang on, my life doesn't really matter now. My life has been crucified with Christ. And the life that I live, the life that I live now in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. The Lord actually enables us to do that. The Lord gives us strength. He helps us to be ones that are able to live a sacrificial life to do that. It's by the enabling and by the power of his Spirit that we can do that. For us, we just have to have the right heart and the right motive. Always make sure you check your own heart. Always check your own motives. Don't look at other people's motives. Oh, they're doing this because of that. You have no idea. We don't know. It's not for us to sit in judgment of other people's hearts, but judge your own heart. Judge your own motives and say, Lord, I want to make sure whatever I do, Lord, that I have the right heart and the right motive in everything that I do. And Lord, that you enable me. You enable us, Lord, to have that sacrificial heart because we have Christ within us. Christ is within us, and so he gives us the strength, gives us the ability to do that. So can I just encourage us this afternoon that really we want to touch the change of community. That was a wonderful example that we read from Angus, what he did, and it cost him his life. But the whole camp, how many people survived because of the transformation? We're no longer a dog-eat-dog world. And there's a community here that we can touch, and we can change that. We can change the mentality by loving people and getting into the community, touching people's lives, loving one another, serving one another, and having a heart to touch the community. And that's certainly that heart that I pray for us will grow more and more. That it's not about us, it's about others, with other people we want to see touched. So let's stand to our feet. I want us to pray together. Open our hearts. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you gave us the ultimate example. Lord, that when you died upon the cross for us, Lord, that you gave everything for us. Lord, you gave all that you had for us. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, that you gave all that you had. Lord, that you died upon that cross for us, Lord. And Lord, it's so easy for us, Lord, to think about our own comfort, our own needs, Lord, whether we're tired or uncomfortable, Lord, or put out, Lord, in some way, Father. Lord, help us not to live selfish lives. Lord, help us not to be self-centered. But, Father, help us always to have others as the priority, Father, Lord, to see beyond our own self. Lord, that we might live selfless lives, Lord, for your glory, Lord. And out doing so, Lord, that we'll see change, Lord, change in our families, change in our workplace, change in our community, Father, Lord, that we'll see things turn, Lord, as we show love and grace, Lord, as we embody what Christ has done, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you live within us, that Christ is within each of our hearts. And, Lord, help us to model that, Lord, and to embody that, Lord, embody that, Father, right within our own hearts, Lord, that we be one sort of selfless in our attitudes, selfless in our behavior, Lord, that we will say, Lord, we're prepared to lay our life down, lay down comfort, Lord, our own needs being met, Lord, that we will touch the heart of others and that we'll see people one for Christ, Lord. So, Father, stir our hearts. Lord, let us be such a people, Lord. We want to touch this community. And, Father, we want to touch our families. We want to touch our workplaces, Lord, our neighborhoods, Lord, wherever we are. And so, Father, help us to decide and say, yes, Lord. Lord, we want to have the same attitude as Christ had, Lord, that when you humbled yourself and then you gave everything, Father, let us be ones that humble our own selves and be ready and willing to give everything, Father. Lord, I pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord as we pray to close.